Good morning. I appreciate you being here today. The first program I'm doing, a presentation, is providing Master Gardeners with an international opportunity or an international outreach opportunity. This program started about 5 years ago, and you can tell because that's how long my hair was 5 years ago, and I've let it grow. But Hope Taft is one of our former First Ladies, and I worked with her at the Governor's residence with our Master Gardener volunteers on the Heritage Garden. And she, her daughter, has a foundation called the Tundana Foundation. And she approached one day and she said, how do you think Master Gardeners would feel about going to Otavalo, Ecuador for a gardening vacation? And I said, well, you know, let's try it and see what happens. The Tundana Foundation is an organization that does medical trips. They call them volunteer vacations where you work half day doing medical outreach and then you tour the rest of the time. So this was the first gardening vacation. We put it out there for our volunteers, and we had 19 sign up the first year. So it was an overwhelming success, and our philosophy is as long as we have people who are interested in going, we'll keep taking them to the on the trip. So the foundation, the really nice piece about this is the foundation organizes all the on-site trip. Once you get there, they take over, they do everything. But what we do to help out and also to lower some of the costs for our volunteers is we recruit our Master Gardener volunteers, and we start right after the trip ends in February. We start again. We handle all the registrations, so all their paperwork comes through my office. And then we do a pre-trip webinar, and this has expanded from the first time. Each year as we went, we'd find little glitches, little things we needed to talk to people about. So we do a pre-trip webinar to help them answer all the different types of questions that they might have about traveling overseas. The trip is about culture, but it's also about giving back. And that's why I kind of like this tour as opposed to just going on a garden trip to England or something like that, is because we are giving back to these communities. And the great thing, again, about partnering with the foundation is they have been in this area. They have had these communities for over 10 years, and they know what these people want. Their philosophy is not to go in and tell them, hey, you need this project, but to have the communities come and say, we would like to do this. We'll put in the labor. We'll help. And then you provide additional resources. So they work with 30-some communities in the area of Otavalo, Ecuador. It's in the highlands. It's up about 8,000 feet. We fly into Quito and then take about a two-hour bus ride. Used to be 3 hours, but in the 5 years we've been there, the roads have improved greatly. And we go to the hotel. We stay at a place called La Posada del Quinde. Every morning we get up. It's usually scheduled that in the mornings you would do a work session, and then in the afternoons we head off and do the touring. We are working in a variety of projects, and I'm just going to go through these very quickly, but things like doing menial tasks in a nursery, weeding, planting, transplanting seedlings, to collecting seedlings. The first time we went, Hope said to me, she said, do you think they're going to, you know, think this is too menial for the work, you know, for what we're doing? We want to make sure they get something out of it, and it is menial tasks. It's weeding. It's doing the very simple things, but yet it's the hands, the number of volunteers that are there helping them get something completed in such a short amount of time. We've also had volunteers come back and raise money. They had no irrigation at this nursery site, so they put in this concrete pit for irrigation. Things don't always go as planned down there. They put this in, but they forgot to put a spigot in the bottom for the water to you know, go out from this irrigation tank down the hill, so they had to go back in and redo it later on. But our volunteers have raised money and sent money over to help as well. We also have to take everything with us. You cannot ship anything down. Volunteers get really excited. They say, oh, we want to do this. We want to send this. We want to help. But you have to take everything with you, the tools, the shovels, the kneeling pads, everything that we use on site we take with us. I've taken flats before in my suitcase, big black plastic flats that are not that easy to pack. We have great experiences. They try each year to give us great opportunities. This year we went up 10,000 feet and collected seedlings for the nursery. And this is Matias. He was the nursery manager, would teach us how to collect those seedlings and wrap them, and then we planted them. There's always an activity with children. We always make sure we connect with the school kids. There's schools. In fact, the second year we were there, they were actually on vacation. It was, not Mardi Gras, but what they have. Come on, Denny. Carnival. It's Carnival. So they were on, actually on break, like a spring break like ours. So they were on vacation. Their teachers brought the kids into school that day, even though they were on vacation. They got them all organized and came in, and we did a major planting. And their schoolyards are very different, of course, than ours. They're very functional, and they plant vegetable gardens. They have animals, so everything is pretty much sustained right there on site. This is the primary tool that they use for everything, and believe me, that is very heavy for Master Gardener volunteers. Many of our ladies had trouble using that, so we always tell them to take their soil knives with them. And the kids are just great to work with. They have a blast. These kneeling pads, I knew as soon as we brought one out, everybody wanted one. So I had about 20 on site the first year. And then the really intriguing things, you know, the magnifying lens, things like that. We try to make sure the volunteers are prepared ahead of time so they know you're going to be working with kids. Take some of these things in hand. And they just have a blast. We do a lot of different projects, restoring some of the areas for erosion, and this isn't exactly the easiest place to work, and we also are very conscientious with our volunteers. There are some volunteers that, you know, we'll say, this is not something you should be doing, or we might have to stop them because they think that they can do that, but, you know, it's actually not something that's suitable for them to do. They're always intrigued because they see plants that they, you know here, and there's a lot of plants in South America that, you know, came to the United States from South America, so it's always a lot of fun to test them and you know, try them out when they see fuchsia, what is this plant, lantana, what is this plant. So there's always excellent opportunities for education along the way. This is quinoa, and this is one of their mainstays down there, but although it's a great plant, they hate harvesting it and cleaning it because you got the chaff, you got to separate everything. The seeds are very small, but you'll see quinoa everywhere, and they are not able to export as much quinoa as they used to because the demand in South America is so great. We always make sure they go to one of the places called the cooking school. The Tondana Foundation, as I said, has developed relationships, and there is a family down there, Claudia, wants to have a cooking school and also a bed and breakfast so that people can come and experience the culture of Otavalo, Ecuador, and their indigenous family. So she has created this cooking school, and we take the Master Gardener volunteers there for that experience. So they prepare a meal from scratch using all the different methods that you know they would have used at the time. And then we also have an educational class first talking about the different plants in the garden. Fava beans are very important to them. They do a lot of beans, a lot of legumes. This is a school vegetable garden, so they plant just about anywhere and everywhere that they can find to plant. And, of course, our volunteers are always just there. It's just an eye-opening experience for them because they've never seen something like this. And, again, education, we always have an interpreter, several interpreters, in fact. The staff at Tandana is always with us, and they interpret everything. So you can get a kind of a relationship with some of the people, but, boy, if you spoke Spanish, it's a lot better. Last year we did a medicinal garden and a vegetable garden at a health center. They have noticed over the years, and this is just becoming more of an awareness issue for them, that their pregnant mothers, their children are deficient in a lot of nutrients that come in things like, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, the greens. So they asked us, they said, we will pitch in and help. We'll have a community work day. Can you provide the seeds and the labor to help plant a garden? So we cleared an entire area of turf grass, and their turf grass is like a St. Augustine grass, but it's even worse. It's like really hard to dig up. So Terry James and I dug and dug and dug. But we got that out there. We planted it, and we've heard what the nice thing is, we ensure that they give us feedback. We've heard that they've been using the garden. They're using it to teach. They're also collecting seeds to send home with pregnant mothers. So it's really been a very valuable project for them in the past year. We also helped another family plant their vegetable garden, and that was all grass when our group came in, and by 2 hours later, it was a vegetable garden. And again, it's just numbers. It's the number of people there that are helping them do something that would normally take them forever. Corn, squash, and beans, primary sustenance. We help plant potatoes. They are very slow in terms of their culture. We might tell the group to get ready at 7:30, only to wait until about 8:30 or 9 for the bus. We have to teach flexibility to master gardeners, and it is exhausting at times. We go from 7:30 until late in the evening, but it really is truly a learning opportunity. They try to make sure we get involved in a minga. A minga is a community work day, and then we have a community lunch after that. So the ladies bring the lunch on their backs. They bring everything in. They lay everything out on a towel or on these blankets, and then you sit there and you just eat. Now, Master Gardeners, some are a little squeamish about this. We tell them on the bus. We have a cultural class when we first get there. We tell them, you know, If you don't want to do it this way, if you don't want to eat like this, you can sit on the bus and eat peanut butter and jelly. But it is rude to, you know, take food from them because that is very, very important to them. And feeding people who have helped them is very important. And we only had a few people who have done the peanut butter and jelly. Most of the people want to jump in and experience the culture. They get opportunities to tour the market. The colors, everything is just incredible. The food is very interesting. It is an open-air market. They use everything. They are a culture that does not waste anything. They are a culture that does not think they are poor. There is no poverty there. They make do with what they have. This would be just absolutely make our health department go crazy, but I tell people when I do programs, there's the health inspector taking care of everything. They also provide scholarships to a lot of the people in the community. These are two young ladies, Christina and Marguerite. And Christina, I don't know if you noticed her teeth. They paid for some dental work, and she just is like, she has grown just incredibly because of the work the foundation's done. And we have become great friends over the years. And I keep telling her she needs to raise some money to come to the U.S. And she says, how much? And I said, a couple thousand. And she says, $2 million? I said, well, okay. They have no concept. Guinea pig is a specialty down there. It's for birthdays. It's for special occasions. We will allow them to try guinea pig if they wish. Pigs are revered in Ecuador. They are not. They're usually tied up because they have one pig per family. They get everything. Cows are tied up, but dogs roam free. One of the things we teach, again, our very first day, we teach safety and security. We go to the market. We make sure they understand. We have a really good orientation from the staff. You know, when you go to the market, you put your backpack in the front of you. In the 5 years we've been, we've only had one pickpocket, and that was just this last year. And the guy said, I knew it. He said, I knew what was happening after the fact, and he should have been more responsive, he said. We teach that security up front with the dogs. Make sure you just, you know, you tell them to stay away because they do possibly have rabies. But we get a great opportunity to tour the culture, to see what's the community's about. It's an incredible learning experience. My next step is to go back and to survey those who have been. We have had people who have gone more than once. Some have gone 3 times. We have expanded it and opened it up to other states and other groups in the state of Ohio. As I said, we prepare them for the trip. The pre-trip webinar is really crucial. What kind of money to take? Take ones, take toilet paper, because there's never any toilet paper anywhere. And we tell them their expectations. We expect you're there to work. You are not there to go, and it's not vacation. If you can't work during the day, that's 2 extra hands that could have been out helping. Be flexible in scheduling. When you get there, be flexible. Pardon me. Understand differences. Our volunteers have a real struggle when they plant trees this much deeper than they should be planted in holes and pits. They don't get that, but it's perfect for the soil they're working in and the condition, and it also helps with the moisture retention. They just have a real struggle with that because they've learned our way and they want to change it. And we really talk about that and stress that in the orientation. And then we have offered it to other Extension Master Gardener programs across the country. Terry James went with us from Nebraska last year. She's going to take a group next October, I believe. And if anybody is interested in taking a Master Gardener organization, let me know. Susan Marr from Wisconsin is going this February just to see what it's about, and then hopefully take Wisconsin Master Gardeners in the future. I think I'm right on time.